We're going to continue on in our series that we've been doing on the book of Hebrews. Okay, we're going to continue on. This is part 9 of our series in Hebrews, and we're in chapter 2. So you know we're in for a long run. But we're trying to get down through some of the chapters a little bit. Some of the places, I've told you this before, some places we're going to go down through a dozen verses probably in one message. But other places there's certain things that I just want to stop and mention. And again, just to give you a background, Hebrews is written to Jewish people, Hebrews. That's why it's called the letter to the Hebrews. And these are Jewish people that came out of the old covenant, got saved after Jesus died on the cross. They believed that he is the Messiah. They gave their life to him. But they could not let go of some of the old things that they grew up with. And some of the old things that they learned and things like this. And we all go through that. And so we're not criticizing them. But the problem was they were being coerced, I guess, to come back under Judaism again. And so the writer to the Hebrews is saying, connection could not be established. So you want to give me your phone? Technology, man. Anyway, that's why we were late starting the service this morning. We're trying to get all the iPads to sync together, but thank God for paper. They say when the Americans and the Russians were, you know, going out into space and different things, they said the Americans spent over $200 million trying to figure out some kind of a pen that would write in space upside down and different things. Thank you, sir. Russians use a pencil. So sometimes I feel like that we're trying to use all these technology things and a piece of paper is just good. But anyway, the Hebrews, they were being persuaded or trying to be persuaded to go back under Judaism again, under the old religion. And the writer to the Hebrews is saying, there's nothing back there to go back to. What you have under a new covenant is a lot better. We got a better covenant based upon better promises, a better sacrifice, a better high priest, everything. Jesus is better. And we talk about in Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus is better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. And we're going to still continue on that because chapter 1 and chapter 2 really is talking about he's better than the angels. Now in chapter 1, we talked about how much Jesus was greater than the angels. But here in chapter 2, it tells us for a while he was made lower than the angels. And so in chapter 1, we're talking about how great he, you know, because of his deity and everything else. But here in this one here, we're going to talk about his condescension, when he came down and became obedient unto death, the Bible says. But anyway, let's continue on. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 to 9. Now last week we did verse 1 to 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? When God himself brought the salvation to us, how do we expect to escape if we neglect it? That's the only way to salvation. Okay, so that's what we talked about last week. Okay, let's go on with this one here. And the title today is, But We See Jesus. We see Jesus. The writer says here, For unto the angels he has not put into subjection the world to come whereof we speak. Now, when you look at this, and again, we're talking about Jesus being greater than the angels. The Jewish people believed the angels were these great beings of light, and you know they had a great respect for the angels. And the writer to the Hebrews is saying, listen, Jesus is greater than the angels. And then he goes on to explain, because he said, unto the angels he never, in other words, the world to come, he never put that under subjection of angels. He put it under the subjection of Jesus. That's what he's saying. So that's the intent of what he's getting at here. So he said, unto the angels has he not put into subjection. And notice what he says here, the world to come. Now, we're not going to spend much time at that today. As a matter of fact, we're not going to spend any time at it. But I want to come back to that time, that phrase probably next week, the world to come. Because a lot of people don't understand what's out there in the future. You know, you got a lot of people today that, you know, talk about, you know, the blessings of God now. And thank God there are blessings now. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. God wants us to live blessed lives. But in the world to come, what's out there for the world to come? We're going to look at some scriptures on that next week. So if you're interested in that, come along and get in on that. Okay, so he says, he never subjected that world to the angels. But one in a certain place testified. a little bit fast. We're going to stop at the end of it and draw two or three conclusions from this, tie the loose ends together. One in a certain place testified. Now, if you you look at that face value, you say, well, did he know where it was at? You know, one in a certain place testified. It came from Psalm chapter 2, or chapter 8, rather. But, you know, he's saying here, one in a certain place testified. And some people say, well, why did he say it that way? Why didn't he say in the second psalm, or the eighth psalm, I should say, in the eighth psalm, or in the book of Psalms, or something like that? But they say, and this is what most of the theologians believe, is that when the writer to the Hebrews was talking about how great Jesus was, he never brought in any human instruments whatsoever, like who said it, who said what, and different things. He just continued to refer to, and you notice it back in chapter 1 there, all the words that were the references that were used back in the Old Testament, he never gave us any references to them. He just said, it was said here, it was said there, it was said. And so in other words, God is the one that's speaking. And this is what he's saying. These things represented or referred to Jesus. So this why they believe that he just never gave any reference to it. He just said one in a certain place. Now, he understood where it was at, no doubt. He was Jewish. Plus, if you look at the rest of the book of Hebrews, he knew the scriptures. He knew the Old Covenant. He knew the Old Testament scriptures. And quotes them verbatim sometimes. And so he knew what he was talking about. It's just that he just wanted to keep the emphasis on Jesus, not on any human instrument. Okay, so one in a certain place testified saying, what is man? Now, if you stop to think about this, you can look at this two or three different ways, but what is man? And when you look at the fact that God created the angels without number, in other words, you can't number them, there's so many of them. Okay, so don't worry, sometimes you're going to use up all your angels. Use up all the angels. God created them without number. And so when you look at that, and when they sinned, when Lucifer, the devil, Satan, he was one of the archangels, when he sinned back in the eons of ages in the past and was cast out of heaven, the Bible says he took one third of the angels with him. This is where you get all the demon spirits and everything. He took one third of the angels with him. But notice that there was no forgiveness for them. There was no place where they could find forgiveness. God never did anything to redeem them. They were lost forever. But when man sinned, God came down himself to redeem us. So the psalmist is saying, what is man that you're so mindful of him? What is it about man that, you know, we're supposed to be, as far as the psalmist is understanding, we're lower than the angels, but yet you think so much about us. Why do you think so much about us? Now, if you look at what's going on there, and David was the one who wrote this in Psalm chapter 8. We'll go back there in a minute. In Psalm chapter 8, David was the one that wrote this. And maybe, you know, I just picture David. I don't know for sure. I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us. But I just picture David probably out under the starry night sometimes. You know, just looking at the stars and the moon and different things and the Milky Way and whatever. And probably feeling so insignificant, just a little speck, you know, just nothing compared to, you know, the vastness of the universe and everything else. And David said, what is man that you're so mindful of him? Now, we look at a few thoughts about that a little later on. He said, thou hast, that are mindful of him, or the son of man. Now, when you look at there, what is man? He's not talking about, because theologians are debating this, and I kind of believe he's talking about mankind. What is mankind that you're so mindful of him? And then he says, or the son of man. Now, sometimes we look at Jesus because Jesus is called the son of man. Right here, I don't believe he's actually talking about the son of man, Jesus himself. He's talking about mankind, which, now you got to understand, Adam was the federal head of the human race. Okay, when God created Adam, Adam was supposed to be the federal head to rule over everything. He is the federal head of the human race. So he said, what is man that you're mindful of, or the son of man? In other words, his descendants. A lot of people believe it's that way. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm just speculating here as well. But, or the son of man, that thou visitest him. In other words, that you're concerned about him, that you came to save him. Then he says, you made him a little lower than the angels, mankind. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of your hands. So when God created Adam and Eve, And we look at a bit of this in a minute. When God created them, God set them over the works of his hands. Now let's go on. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Now you understand, he's still talking about mankind. Okay, God's plan for mankind. Well, we'll get into that in a minute. That's our first point. I'll touch on it in a minute. But anyway, he said, thou hast put all things under subjection under his feet. And then he says, for in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Okay, so you understand what's going on here, but he's saying, he said, what is man? David is here thinking this through. He said, what is man? You've created us. We're little lower than the angels. You've made us a little lower than the angels. But if you read what's going on there, he said, you've given control over all the works of your hands. You know, the Bible tells us that one day we're going to judge the angels. So our destiny is higher than the angels. But why is it that we're a little lower than the angels now? You understand where I'm coming from? Okay, so why is it that we're a little lower than the angels now? He said, for in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Now let's look at point number one. God's original purpose for man was that man would rule over the earth. That was God's original plan. When God created Adam and Eve, that was God's original plan, that man would rule over the earth. Now we have some scriptures here, and we're just going to read these in the Bible. I never put them up on the screen. I've been doing that lately, but I'd like for you to get into the Bible, see it yourself. So let me hear some pages turning. Way back in Genesis chapter 1, that's the first page. Okay, if you don't know where Genesis is at, you're in trouble. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Genesis means beginnings. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. Okay, so he says, we're saying here that God's original purpose, God's plan for mankind, was that man would rule, actually the universe, if you stop and think about it, over all the works of his hands. Remember we were talking about Jesus a little while ago? He created the heavens, and he said, the heavens are the works of your hands. So he said, you know, God has given man dominion over these things. Genesis chapter 1, let's look at verse 11 down to 13. Genesis chapter 1, beginning of verse 11. And the Lord said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. So God, there be plants, in other words, let there be herbs come forth. And he said, in the plant, let there be seed that will reproduce itself. Like, for instance, if you're planting crops or something, in potatoes, you got potatoes, you know, potato seeds. In onion, you got onion seeds or whatever. So he said, everything would seed in the herb itself or in the vegetable or whatever, you know, you're growing. He said, that seed would be in it. Okay, now verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and a tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, let's move on down to verse 20. Now, I just want you to see something here, just laying a foundation here for something. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly, and moving creatures that have life, and the fowl that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. Now get this, after their kind. Remember, the seed would produce after its kind. In other words, the whale would produce the whale. The shark would produce a shark or whatever the case might be. After its kind. So God created the universe to work that way, that the seed would always be there to reproduce again. Remember we talked about a little while ago, we were talking about the new heavens and new earth. You know, and we're talking about our own resurrection. We're talking about this again in Easter Sunday. But we're talking about our own bodies. The old body that's buried is a seed for the glorified body that's going to come back. So God planted that seed in everything that lives. Okay, so verse 21 again. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now here's the thing. God, you know, we're just reading God creating life on the earth. Okay, we started with the green life and plants and different things, and we went to the animal kingdom, the fish and the birds and different things. Now, but then he says right here in verse 26, God said, let us make man. Now notice this, he made everything else after their kind. But he said, let us make man after our image. There was a change here. Okay, he never said, let the earth bring forth man. Like he said, let the earth bring forth fruit, and let the earth, you know, and let there be this, and let there be. He never said, let there be man walking on the earth. No, God said, let us make man in our image. Now, there's a difference. I know in school, sometimes they tell you, you know, they used to tell us when we were going to school, you know, that man is just the highest rung on the animal kingdom. No, we're not even in the same kingdom. You understand that? We're totally beyond that. We're made in the image of God. Don't allow the devil to beat you around sometimes and say you're not worth anything. You're made in the image of God. That's why we value life so much. And you find people that don't value life don't understand what God has done for us. He made man not like the animals, not like the fish, not like the birds or anything else, not like we're living in a world today, people are gone crazy over the environment. Now, I'm not saying is all wrong, you know, to look after the environment and things like this. But I mean, when you start putting animals, when you start putting, plants and trees and bogs and everything else ahead of mankind, you're missing something. You understand that? You're actually, and this is what the devil is doing, and this is why you see so much going on in the world today, so much foolishness going on. You see, if there's a frog in a bog somewhere. Somebody can't build a house around there, you know. I mean, you know, anyway, I can go on. I can get into it, but I won't. What happened here, Jason? Hang on. Okay, here we go. So he says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of. See, here's what God created man to do. He said, let man have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the animals, and all these different things, the plants. He said, let man have dominion over these things, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. This gets into, you know, the new curriculum that's come out in school, but here it says God created male and female. He says, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So here we see God's intention, his first intention, his first purpose. Original purpose was for man to rule the earth. Now let's go to Psalm chapter 8. And I told you this where the writer to the Hebrews was quoting from. Psalm chapter 8. Just open your Bible about halfway so you should fall open the Psalms. Psalm chapter 8. Just a short passage. But this is what he's referring to. Okay, so when God created mankind, he created them to have dominion, to rule the earth. Now remember, we're going to talk about the world to come next week. Okay, that world. And we'll touch on some of the things back at that time. David is saying here, he said, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned them with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. See, this is what God created us to have dominion over the works of God's hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, Yes, and the beast of the field, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passed through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So here we see that God has created man, and God gave man dominion over the earth. Do you understand that when God created Adam and Eve, as God is over the universe and God is over heaven and stuff like this, he gave Adam his own realm to reign in. Okay? Adam was the federal head. Adam could still be alive today if he never sinned. You understand that? When God created Adam, he created him to live forever. So if Adam never sinned, Adam would still be ruling over the world today, still controlling everything, and everything would be peaceful. Everything would be just like it was back in the Garden of Eden when there was no corruption, no sin, no sickness, no death, no sorrow. And matter of fact, when the dust is all settled and we get into the new heavens, new earth, the Bible says there is no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, for the former things have passed away. See, that came in as a result of Adam's fall. Now, let's go back here again and continue on where we're at. I got something gone here, Jason. Okay, here we go. It just the screen all goes blank all the time, and notes coming up there for me. Okay, for in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But then he says, but now, in the age that we're living in, okay, God created man to have that dominion, but now, he said, we see not yet all things put under him. We do not see all things, and that brings us to the second point. God's original purpose for man was hindered by the fall. Now, when we talk about the fall, we're talking about when Adam sinned. Okay, he rebelled against God. God's original plan was for us to be able to control the universe, for us to be able to rule over the earth. But because of Adam's sin, all that backfired, but it was thwarted. It was hindered from happening because of sin that came in. Now, here's some more verses for us to look into again. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 this time. Genesis chapter 3. Way back at the beginning again. You see, we keep going back here. Lots of times when we're preaching, we keep going back to Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, somewhere around there. Because if you don't understand what happened in the beginning, you'll never be able to put together what's going to happen in the future. You'll never be able to understand it fully. This is what was going on over in the Middle East when you see ISIS and all these different things. People don't understand. I mean, they're saying, oh, go in and blow them up, go in and do this. You got to understand what took place back there in Genesis. Okay, what's happening over there today is a result of the things that took place back in Genesis. You know, and what's happening over there, I believe personally, is the forerunner for the Antichrist to set up his kingdom. Okay, and this is what you see happening today. Now, but if you don't understand what's going on back there and you try to talk to the government officials or something like that, they'll just laugh at you and mock at you. Remember we talked about last week, they just made light of things? You know, and this is what happens in the world today. If you try to explain to them, listen, the Bible says this is the reason why this is happening, they'll make light of it. But until you understand what took place here in Genesis, you're not going to understand what's going on today. Not going to understand why it's going on and have a full picture of it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Now, this is after the fall of Adam and Eve, after they ate the forbidden fruit. And some people say, well, God is pretty touchy. No, you got to understand. I used to think that way one time. I started to delve into it. When they did that, they were absolutely saying, God, I know better than you do. You know, it's like when you have a rebellious, and don't misunderstand, we all have had them, and we were probably like it ourselves when we were growing up. But you know what it's like when you got a rebellious teenager, and you try to explain to them, you know, Mom and Dad sees it this way. Ah, you fellas don't know anything. You know? Now, you fellows never ever had that in your families, I'm sure. You know. We've all gone through it. Okay, Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. And unto Adam, this is after God came when Adam and Eve sinned. And because God warned them, he said, the minute you do it, he said, you're going to loose evil into the world. He said, the minute you sin, he said, you're going to die. You're going to loose the evil in the human race, and eventually the human race is going to be destroyed. This is what God was saying to him. Now, through death. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, God says, cursed is the ground for your sake. In other words, Adam, because of you, the ground is cursed. Remember we just talked about right now we don't see everything under man? This is the reason. Before this, everything was under him. But until when this happened, all of a sudden, things changed. Okay, and Adam, instead of ruling the universe started to rule mankind. Okay, this is why you have sicknesses today, this is why you have diseases today, this is why you have wars today, because the universe is ruling us instead of us ruling the universe. You understand what I'm saying there? You know, so God says to Adam, he said, because of you, he said, the ground is cursed. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Now, so God was saying to Adam, Adam, when you took that fruit, you loosed this floodgate of evil into the world and has gone into everything. The Bible tells us over in Romans that even creation itself is groaning, longing for the day of release, just longing for this curse to be lifted. You know, this is why if you leave anything, it just decays because it just gets worse. You know, I mean, if you got a car that broke down last year and you leave it in your driveway, it's not going to fix itself. You understand that? You know, because everything just progressively gets worse and worse and worse. And this is what Adam loosed into the world. God never planned it to be that way. He said, in the sweat of the thorns and thistles that bring forth, verse 19, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return to the ground. Now, that wasn't God's original plan for Adam to return to the ground. But when Adam did that, he loosed this death into the world. And this is why God told him, the day that you eat that, he said, you'll loose death into the world. You'll die. And God said, you'll go through all these struggles and battles and everything else until you go back to the ground. He said, for dust thou art, out of it you came, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. He's going to go back to dust. Now, let's look at the next verse there. Romans chapter 5. Now, these are just stuff you already know. I know that and I understand it, but sometimes it's good to be reminded. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. He said, wherefore, as by one man's sin, sin entered the world, by Adam. Okay, we just talked about it. By Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin. That opened up the door. When Adam sinned, it opened up the door for death to come into the world. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So he said, when Adam sinned, he opened up the gate, the floodgate, so to speak, of evil, of sin that came into the world, and that caused all kinds of problems. That caused all the problems that's going on in the natural world today, the floods, the earthquakes, the disasters, the tsunamis, all these different things taking place. That was because Adam opened up that floodgate. And God warned him. He said, Adam, don't do it. He said, because the day that you do it, he said, you will die. I mean, that wasn't God's intention for Adam to die. But it came as a result of Adam sinning. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13, we've talked about this before. And this is what he's referring to back there in Hebrews chapter 1. When he says, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Because right now we do not see all things under him. We've got to wait until all things are put under him. You see, Satan is defeated, but he's not bound yet. See, there's a difference. And you say, well, why is everything going on in the world so bad today? Because Satan is not bound yet. Okay, the day will come when he's going to be bound and cast into the bottomless pit, the Bible says. He's going to be bound for 1,000 years, the Bible tells over in Hebrew, over in Revelation. And then we're going to have a millennial reign. And then he's loose for a season, and then he's going to be destroyed and cast into the lake of fire where he's going to be forever. And after that, the Bible says there's a new heaven and a new earth. No more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, for all the former things have passed away. Okay, now, so let's go back again to where we're at here. Okay, so but now, and this is the reason, we do not see everything under him because Adam sinned and lost that place of authority. Okay, now let's move on. And this is where we get the title for the message here in verse 9. But we see Jesus. See, looking at man, there's not much hope. Adam sinned. Adam died. He went into the ground. You know, Adam is still in this earth somewhere now. You ever stop and think about that? Adam's remains somewhere is still on this planet. Okay. Adam died, he went into the ground as dust. That wasn't God's intention for the federal head of the human race. The human race lost that place of dominion and magnificence that God had given it to it, given to him. The Bible says that was crowned with glory and honor. You set him over all the works of your hands. But he sinned, and sure enough, as God told him, you will die, you'll go back to the dust. And Adam is still somewhere today, buried in the dust of the earth. Right? That's the federal head. I mean, this was the person that was created by God himself, the very first human being that was created holy and righteous and pure and innocent. And here he was created this way and listened to the devil and put all of us, the Bible says, because of one man's sin, death came into the world. Sin came into the world, rather, and death by sin. Okay, now, but he says, so we're looking at Adam, there's not much hope. But thank God for this verse here. He said, but we see Jesus. There's a difference. Okay, Adam was created to have dominion. Adam lost that dominion. But he says, we see Jesus. And this is where it takes up our third point. I'll get into it here. God's original plan for man was, well, first let me read the three of them. God's original purpose for man was that he would rule the earth. But that was hindered by the fall. But thank God it's been regained by Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus came to do. He came down and he had to come down lower than the angels. He had to come down to be man himself to redeem us back to God. Now, let's look at this. Some verses here and we'll finish up in 5 minutes. Of course, some of you believe that, some of you don't. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. This is what God said to Adam. When God created Adam, everything was perfect. Right? Everything was absolutely perfect. God created him. And yet you need to understand, when God created Adam and Eve, we touch on this probably a little bit next week. When God created Adam and Eve, there were no animals that preyed on another animal. God said, I've given to the animal, you know, he said, every green herb on the earth. And the Bible tells us in the millennial reign, the world to come that we're going to talk about next week, it said the lion and the ox, everything will eat cattle, eat the grain like the cattle. You know, nothing is going to kill or destroy in all my holy mountain. That's what we're talking about next week. But anyway, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. And this is when God put Adam in the garden. Well, let's look at verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. I mean, every tree was there. You could eat whatever you want to, Adam, but there's one that's mine. There's one that's mine. He said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. He said, the day that you eat of it, he said, guaranteed, he said, you're going to die. Now, if you go over to the book of Ezekiel, the Bible tells, God says, he said, all souls are mine. He says, the soul of the Father, the soul of the Son. And then he says, and the soul that sins will surely die. Okay? So this is what God said. There's a curse, Adam. If you touch that, you're going to bring death into the world. This is why everything is dying today. This is why your bodies get weak. This is why we get old. This is why our teeth fall out and our hair falls out and everything else. This is why we have sore throats and this is why we get cancers and diseases and all these different things. Because of what Adam did, there was a curse that was loosed upon the earth. God never ever intended it to be that way. So God says to Adam, he said, Adam, in the day that you eat, he said, you'll surely die. Now Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. We just read this a little earlier. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, and dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. He said, Adam, you're going to die. You're going to die, he said, because you've loosed this curse into the earth. Romans 5:17. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5 again. I should have told you to keep a finger in there, but Romans chapter 5, verse 17. He said, for if by one man's offense, that was Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. Now notice what he's saying here. You know, we've always used, for the last couple of years anyway, we've always used this as the old covenant, living under Adam, because the Bible says in Adam all die. Okay? So if you haven't yet gotten into Christ, you're lost. I mean, you can't have it any more simple than that. You're lost for all eternity. You have to be in Jesus. This is why Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Okay, now, verse 17 again. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, he said, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, remember Adam's offense, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift of salvation comes upon all men unto justification of life. Goes back again. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we don't have time to get into a lot of it there. Romans 6:23, just across the page on my page there. He said, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we just talked about. God said to Adam, he said, Adam, the minute you do it, you will die. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we're going to just clue up here with the rest of verse 9 there. He said, but we see Jesus. Remember, Adam was made a little lower than the angels because of his sin? He said, but we see Jesus now, because Adam couldn't do anything else for the human race. Adam was gone. As I said, he's still in the earth, some are buried. He went back to dust. So who's going to help us? Nobody on the planet could help us. But he said, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Okay, Jesus himself left heaven, came down to redeem Adam's race, the ones that were lost. Jesus came down. He said, we see him made a little lower than the angels. Why? He said, for the suffering of death. As an angel, he couldn't die. Okay, you understand it? As God, he couldn't die. Now, Jesus is not an angel. Don't misunderstand what I meant when I said that. Okay, but he had to come down lower than the angels. God couldn't take an angel because an angel can't die. He couldn't take himself in that sense because God can't die. So God came down and took upon himself the form of a human being. Okay, this is why he's called the God-man. Okay, so Jesus came down, and he came down, the Bible says, made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That's the reason, because he had to come down low enough to die. He said, we see him crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, just a couple of thoughts here on this verse, and we'll finish. Notice what he says here. He mentions death twice, the suffering of death, and he tasted death. Okay, when Jesus came down, this is why he's made lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. He had to come down and die because the curse was death. Okay, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall die. Now, Jesus never sinned. So he came down and took all of our sins of the human race, took it upon himself, went to the cross. The Bible says he humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross. He came down so low. And the Bible says, because he came down so low and did that for us, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Now, you understand what I'm saying here? So when you look at what took place, he said, Jesus came down, lowered himself down so that he could suffer death for us. But here's the thing about it. He paid the price. He tasted death for everyone. You understand that? You know, he tasted death for everyone. See, when Jesus hung on the cross, and I've gone through this so many times, when Jesus hung on the cross, all of our sins from eternity past, or I shouldn't say from eternity past, but from creation until Jesus comes back, all the sin of the universe, the sin of the world, was laid upon him. The Bible says he offered himself through the eternal spirit. He did this in the eternal realm, even though he came into the natural realm to do it, but it was an eternal price that he was paying. And he took all the sin of the universe, all the sin of mankind, I should say, and laid it upon Jesus. Jesus paid the price completely. And when Jesus finished, when it was done, Jesus cried out, "It is finished. It's over. It's done. I paid the price in full. Everything is looked after. I've redeemed Adam's race back again." That's what he did. He redeemed Adam's race back again. And the Bible tells us that we will rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Remember that? Because he's brought us back again so that we will rule over the earth once again. Now, and then it goes into the eternal realm after that, after the new heavens, new earth. But I want us to understand here. He said he did it by the grace of God. Now, we've been talking about the grace of God a lot. All this was done because of God's grace for us. God loved Adam's race so much that he could not allow Adam's race to stay in the mess that they were in. So God himself stepped out of time. The second person of the Trinity stepped out of time. And the Bible says the Word, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Jesus stepped out from eternity, stepped into time, came down and redeemed Adam's race back again. So God's original intent for man, God's original purpose, was that man would rule the world. But because of Adam's sin, the world is ruling us. You ever stop to think of it? I mean, you could, you know, like life is so fragile. You ever stop to think of stuff like that? You know, you could be a great athlete. You know, got all kinds of awards and championships and everything else, and right at the height of your game, you can be snuffed out just like that. You know, or fall and break a hip or break a bone or something. You know, like, because that curse is in the earth. I mean, the tsunamis, the floods, the earthquakes, the famines and everything else, all comes because of what Adam did back there. God said to Adam, he said, "The earth is cursed because of you, because you disobeyed me." So Adam lost it, but Jesus came and regained it. But now he said, we do not yet see all things put under him. But he said he's going to rule until he puts all enemies under his feet. And this is what we're going to talk about next week when we talk about the world to come. He's going to rule till he puts all enemies under his feet. And then he gets into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There's some verses there as well that we'll get into next week. But I want you to understand, I think that was the end of it there. Yeah. But we see Jesus. This is the entire thing that the writer to the Hebrews is doing over and over and over, is lifting up Jesus and telling him, listen, Jesus is greater than the angels, greater than the prophets. He's greater than anything. And he's the one who's going to rule the universe. Praise God.